Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard exposes corrupt CIA officials.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Will Haynes is joining me in studio. Harry Hutchinson and Rick Grinnell will be with us later on. If you're just clicking on YouTube and you're like, hey, that title is pretty intriguing, Will, I think we need to break down what's happened here. Because our friend, our former colleague, as of just a couple weeks ago, Tulsi Gabbard, now director of National Intelligence, you had a report that came in from CNN saying, you know, cleaning this up is going to be a problem. Because I don't know, man, if you start firing people in these departments, in the CIA, in the FBI, in the Office of National Intelligence, what if these people start selling us out? What if they start going to China and to Russia and to all of our adversaries and they give us all their information? What's going to happen then? That's why we can't fire people, because if you fire people, they are going to turn their back on their country. Again, and Tulsi, of course, responded with, well, this is precisely the point.
That's right. So this comes from a report from CNN, how Trump's government cutting moves risk exposing the CIA's secrets. And it says, as the CIA weighs staff cuts, current and former intelligence officials say that mass firings could offer a rich recruitment opportunity for foreign intelligence services like China or Russia, who may seek to exploit financially vulnerable or resentful former employees. So what CNN, according to individuals that they spoke with, is trying to say is that, like, look, if they don't have a job, they're going to, you know, go to the competitor. Like, it's, I left Walmart and went to Target. I mean,
That's what I was saying in our meeting this morning, was like, you know, there's other organizations like ours, and it's like, yeah, that's the worry there. Oh, man, they're going to take their talents, you know, to Miami. Like, LeBron said so many decades ago, that dates me so badly. But you know, that could happen. But their version of that is, oh, I'm going to go to a foreign adversary.
Right. I mean, it seems absurd on its face. But I think we should let people know it is not usual to see the director of national intelligence do interviews. Normally, it's not a job you even necessarily are familiar with who the person is. But Tulsi Gabbard has been making the rounds, and she was asked about this very article last night on Jesse Waters' show. Let's go ahead and play Bite One.
I am curious about how they think this is a good tactic to keep their job. They're exposing themselves essentially by making this indirect threat using their propaganda arm through CNN that they've used over and over and over again to reveal their hand, that their loyalty is not at all to America. It is not to the American people or the Constitution. It is to themselves. And these are exactly the kind of people that we need to root out, get rid of, so that the patriots who do work in this area, who are committed to our core mission, can actually focus on that. I got to tell you, one of the byproducts of what I just saw literally today is, because of this immediate action of transparency and accountability, I have people within the intelligence community reaching out to me personally and directly saying, hey, you need to know about this. You need to look over here. People are stepping forward because they are all on board with the mission to clean house and refocus on our core mission of serving the American people.
Yeah, that was, again, from Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, former Seculo contributor who had been on the show for many years. And thanks to your support, she was able to go from being one of our great broadcasting partners here to now getting things done. What do you think about our friend Tulsi Gabbard? Do you like what she said in that? Do you like the rooting out of the people who do not need to be there? Are you concerned at all that the people that are there will do this? I mean, that is true. What is the real concern? That maybe the wrong people were hired and given the wrong amount of intelligence? And we have even some of that coming up a little bit later with what happened to the IRS, as nearly over 400,000 tax returns were leaked by someone on the inside. We got more information on that. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. And look, today, sadly, the Bibas family in Israel was laid to rest. Obviously, they were horribly and brutally murdered and made into this spectacle of being a hostage. And we're continuing our fight for Israel right now. We've got a lot going on. I'm going to lay out in the next segment what we're doing to support the people of Israel. You need to support us right now. ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. Will Haynes joining me in studio. And later on in the broadcast, Harry Hutchinson will be on. Rick Grenell will be on. Former Director of National Intelligence. Of course, we're talking about the current Director of National Intelligence, our former colleague, Tulsi Gabbard. Will, because a lot of people are just joining us right now. We need to give restate the facts a little bit. And if you've already heard this, just give us a minute. We'll restate it. While we're doing that, though, you can call in. Phone lines are open. We got four lines open right now. 1-800-684-3110. Will, why don't you give a little bit of an update of this? And then, of course, we're hearing so many things that are happening that are being exposed, whether that's through DOGE or whether that's through other departments, including things that are happening on these servers that are not savory.
That's right. So CNN puts out an article, How Trump's Government Cutting Moves Risk Exposing the CIA's Secrets. This was written by four journalists at CNN. It took that many to get these sources and put this out here. But it says, as the CIA weighs staff cuts, current and former intelligence officials say that mass firings could offer a rich recruitment opportunity for foreign intelligence services like China or Russia, who may seek to exploit financially vulnerable or resentful former employees. The Justice Department has charged multiple former military and intelligence officials for providing U.S. intelligence to China in recent years. So the entire take there, presumably from sources within the CIA, are that, hey, be careful. You may not want to offer these buyout programs here. You may not want to cut the provisional employees because we know things. And if we lose our job, we're going to go to China or Russia. And it's absurd. And as Tulsi Gabbard called them out on Jesse Waters' program, that one, they're using their propaganda arm, CNN, so calls out CNN as well, but that these type of deep state actors know that they can go directly to friendlies in the media and get this out there as a warning to the Trump administration. But she is also right to point out, it exposes that these people shouldn't be working for our intelligence agencies anyways. If they are easily flipped their allegiance from, it's not just a job, this is a national security job, and they're going to just all of a sudden lose their job and decide, I know some stuff, I'm going to go sell it to Russia or China or Iran or North Korea. I mean, that just seems absurd that CNN would even print, like, here's the risk. It's like when New York Times said the unintended consequence of naming cartels terrorists is it may hurt our economy. If these people are that easily turned against their allegiance to the United States, then they shouldn't be working for the Central Intelligence Agency to begin with.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a call on this. We have a Marine Corps vet, Lee, who's calling in Kansas on line one. First, Lee, thank you so much for your service. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. What I was calling about, I want to ask a question, concerns the Senator Chuck Grassley about 2 years ago mentioned a task force of 40 plus FBI informants that were dedicated to the Bidens. And I haven't really heard anything else about it since then. So I would like to ask if you guys know any more about it, or if anybody's going to press Tulsi Gabbard or any of the new Trump administration about that. As I understand it, they were dedicated to the corruption that was going on in the Biden administration, to include it when he was a senator and vice president.
Right. I remember that all going down, and I think we do have some update there.
Well, what he's referring to was that Senator Grassley, who works with a lot of whistleblowers, he's one of the senators that actually champions whistleblowers in his oversight role in the Senate, but he had acquired a FD at 1023, which is the form that FBI agents will fill out about corruption or a crime as they're taking their notes. And this went into broadening the story of looking into corruption potentially within the Biden vice presidency. So this was prior to him being the president of the United States. I think, one, there were some issues with that where sometimes a 1023 in the media maybe gets more play than what it is. That doesn't give any veracity to what's being told. That's an agent taking notes on it, just what they're being told. And then there's work product that would follow. So that's part of it. But also, I think when it comes to corruption, the main focus of the government right now, of the Trump administration, is stopping current corruption. And while there would be some hope for justice of past corruption, before you can even start to even think of that, you have to put an end to what we're seeing here. And when you have essentially...
To me, it's much more important about what's happening, not what happened.
Right. And when you have CIA agents that are essentially threatening extortion to keep their jobs through CNN, or you have them discovering that NSA agents, 100 employees of the National Security Agency, which is one of the most secretive agencies that we have, even more so to some degree than the CIA, their work isn't really talked about much. And not that the CIA's is, but this is even much more secretive. 100 employees, they discovered, were using an internal communication platform they had called Intel Link.
Right.
So it's supposed to be secure. It's for work product, for their professional use. Had an entire channel of about 100 employees discussing lewd, some described it as even pornographic material on their work devices, at work. It's graphic. We're not going to go into the details here, but it's kind of shocking that in this day and age that someone would think this is appropriate workplace talk and chat, and that was going on the most secretive servers of the internet of the U.S. government.
And it's been said a lot of those will be taken care of. A lot of those people will be gotten rid of, if you will. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I actually like this call. Let's go to Jason in Florida. Online two, Jason, welcome. Jason, you there?
Yes.
Go ahead with your comment.
The only real comment I guess I really have got is just that I kind of sort of can't wait to say when the Disneyfied liberal broadcast networks, case in point ABC, CBS, and NBC, are gone.
Yeah,
and only the conservative networks are left.
Well, I don't know about that. Well, there'll be a world where I don't know if there should be a world where the only networks left are the conservative ones. But what you are seeing, Jason, is a referendum on a lot of these networks just due to plummeting numbers. I mean, look what's happening right now at MSNBC and NBC. You have your mainstays, Lester Holt, some of those going away. You have Joy Reid show canceled. They know, as much as they've built their little propaganda arms, that doesn't mean people are going to watch it. And there's a few things you have to do. First, you got to make a show people want to see. And there are shows that are from liberal hosts that I will watch because they're good shows, even if I disagree with them. The difference is they were making bad shows. They're making shows that no one wanted to watch, and therefore they're going to change that whole network. Now, I have said before, I believe things like MSNBC does not fit in the portfolio of a Xfinity, Comcast, Universal, NBC Universal family of businesses, because you have all of these sort of family entertainment options, including travel and all this. And then just on the side, you don't only have a news service, you have one that's blatantly, openly the most liberal, the most extreme organization that you could have. So to me, like, those things didn't match up ever. Like, why MSNBC is even in the portfolio, other than if they were more straight news, or I understand why you have a news department, why you even have a Lester Holt kind of news show. But when you have an MSNBC lineup, they are feeling the pressure coming in. And you saw something like a Greg Gutfeld on the cover of Variety magazine just in the last couple of weeks, of how he has destroyed everyone in the ratings and how he's destroyed all of the major late night comedy hosts. Now, again, you may not be your cup of tea. You may not care for Gutfeld. You may prefer one of the classic late night shows, but the numbers don't lie.
Well, and to Jason's point, the Washington Post, which Jeff Bezos rescued and would not be in business right now if it weren't for that, even under his trying to prop up this newspaper, during the 4 years of the Biden administration, they lost 90% of their digital readership. And I'm telling you, the print subscribers not paying the bills, they lost 90% of their digital readership. But yet the self-importance that comes out of journalists at the Washington Post, who thinks that they are the ones that will save the country from President Trump with their tagline, "Democracy dies in darkness." You saw today, Jeff Bezos, he announced our opinion section will only focus on economic freedom and individual freedom. They are moving away from a broad range of opinion, because he's trying, as a businessman, to figure out how to save the paper. that he bought as a pet project. 90% gone. That speaks exactly to what Jason's saying, though.
Yep, absolutely. Look, phone lines are open for you coming up. Harry Hutchinson's going to be joining us. We're going to talk more about the government moving and cutting a lot and what that means for us and what that means also for the fact that, I don't know, there are people inside who are leaking hundreds of thousands of tax returns. So when they complain that Elon Musk has too much access, well, it seems like there's a lot of people that have too much access and are willing to sell you out. We're going to keep that conversation going. Support the work of the ACLJ right now. Of course, we're supporting our work in Israel. We face also a critical deadline in court today as we defend a parent who bravely called out anti-Semitism on a public school teacher. And that's what happens. We fight for not just what's going on a global scale, but also what happens locally. We're there for you. So I'm going to ask you right now to join us in the fight to help defend Israel. Become an ACLJ champion today. Welcome back to Seculo. Again, there's some phone lines open for you right now at 1-800-684-3110. If you're brand new and you're watching on YouTube or Rumble or any of the platforms, you can subscribe. I encourage you to do that. If you've already done that, just throw a comment in and hit the little thumbs up. That helps us out a lot, helps more people get this in their feeds. More brand new people can see us because over 466,000 of you are subscribing alone on YouTube, which is amazing. It's phenomenal. We've seen great growth. Our team who puts together all the YouTube content does a great job, but we can't do it without you because we want to make sure people see this content, are exposed to it. But Will, we kind of wanted to restate this, but also discuss kind of a related story, a story that I've been teasing for the last couple segments where, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of our tax returns were leaked by someone on the inside.
That's right. When you see the media freaking out about, the job loss that's going to happen with these cuts in the government. And yes, there are people that have jobs that aren't all bad actors that will be swept up
into
this.
We have said, by the way, I want to make sure people understand, none of us are sitting here celebrating people losing their job. What you should be celebrating is someone going in and hopefully helping clean up our books, making sure that we are using the money that you're giving them wisely. So using your tax dollars wisely. The cause and effect of this is obviously some people will lose their jobs, and that stinks. I hate that. I hate even having to come here and talk about that. But unfortunately, we're so underwater right now, this is what has to happen. And by the way, this isn't the first president to ever do this. This is just the one that gets all the media attention because you know how the press is.
That's right. And so what you see both at, whether it be cleaning up the NSA where individuals were behaving badly on the job, or CIA where they're now threatening to extort the U.S. government that if we lose our job, maybe we're just going to go sell secrets to Russia and China. But we also have to look back at what happened at the IRS, because when Doge Harry went into the IRS, there were people, mainly senators like from Massachusetts, like Elizabeth Warren, freaking out that they're going to get your personal information, that these people are going to have access to it, which many of the people were, at this point, a part of the executive branch. So many people within the executive branch already have access to that. And what have some done with that? We heard about Charles Littlejohn a while back. He was an IRS contractor that leaked at the time what was believed to be 70,000 different individuals' personal tax information. Some of those people were Donald Trump, Elon Musk, politically motivated leaking to places like ProPublica, Washington Post, and for other reasons as well. Now that there's a new sheriff in town, the acting IRS commissioner is telling the House Judiciary Committee chairman, Jim Jordan, yeah, it wasn't actually 70,000. It was more than 400,000 taxpayers affected by this one individual's leaking. And yet we're seeing senators saying, no, the American people's information could be at risk. When in reality, if you don't clean up these agencies, Harry, everyone's information's at risk all the time.
Absolutely. So the big issue, in my opinion, with respect to confidential, non-public information, is that that data is in the hands of government employees. Now, many of them are loyal to the United States, but you also have employees who basically hate the United States. They hate American citizens, and they are driven by political hatred, as witnessed by the information that was leaked to the New York Times on Donald Trump, And the information that was published by ProPublica on Elon Musk. So the deep state arguably is committed to deep hatred for the American people, even though they have sworn allegiance to the United States and they have promised to protect the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so this revelation that Mr. Littlejohn has leaked private information should be set in direct contrast to the ballistic hectoring that we have received over the last several months from CNN and MSNBC, because they have basically been foaming at the mouth about Elon Musk having access to confidential information. I am not going to tell our audience that Elon Musk is perfect, but he has an objective of helping the American people. Mr. Littlejohn and other leakers at the NSA, those individuals basically hate the United States, in my opinion.
When this information comes out, and this happens, Will, you know, you want to make sure that everyone has all the facts and understands, because it's wild. When you hear this kind of information, when a Donald Trump and an Elon Musk tax returns and information is being leaked, you do have to look at what Tulsi Gabbard said, which is, yeah, if you think that your own staff, your own team, again, as Will said, this is not going from Walmart to Target. This is undermining the American people. This is undermining the American government, whether that is what Tulsi is saying, which is if you think your potential employees are going to quit or get fired, and if they go fired, they're going to go work for a foreign adversary, or if on this situation where they're going to leak all this information for data or for mining or whatever it could be, for all of the uses it can be used for, that we need to make sure that we have these real protections in place. And right now, it is clear what's nice about these store stories when they happen, and they're not nice that a contractor leaked more than 400,000 returns, but what it does, it opens up the door for you to understand, as the secular viewer here, as the ACLJ supporter, that this is happening. And therefore, that's why we put together such an amazing team that ends up becoming people like the Director of National Intelligence. That's why Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us a little bit later, former Director of National Intelligence, because we can influence what's going on, because this can't be how things are run.
Well, and when you see that organizations like ProPublica itself, which benefited from the leaking of taxpayer information from this individual and were able to report on Elon Musk and report on Donald Trump, they were all too eager to take the illegal stealing and releasing of taxpayer private information and report on it when it was against the people they didn't like. But now you're seeing story after story after story from these same media outlets that are decrying the Doge agenda. Here's one from ProPublica. The staffers helping Elon Musk dismantle and downsize the U.S. government one agency at a time. They have a litany of writing on here about, with a negative slant, about what is happening. So how do they mesh that? How do they mesh it? They are fine with taking illegally leaked information, but then going after these agencies that are trying to clean that up. It's because that's where they profited. That's where they get their money, is by telling their own sphere of influence, which is increasingly smaller, here's the dirt on the people you don't like.
Yeah, phone lines are open for you. We do have a second half hour coming up on the broadcast. I want you to join us for the full hour. So if you aren't watching us on YouTube or on Rumble, some of your local radio stations don't carry the full hour, and they should, but they don't. But it's an easy way to do it, absolutely free. Go to ACLJ.org or find us on YouTube or on Rumble or Facebook or X. Wherever you get your broadcast, we're there. And of course, you can later on check us out archived. Many of you are right now on the ACLJ Secular podcast feed, or however it is you may ingest our content, which is great. Go to ACLJ.org always to support the work as well. Not only this show, but the incredible work that we're doing, an incredible team we've put together. You heard from Harry Hutchison. You'll hear from, obviously, our team here, Will Haynes, myself. But you're going to hear from Rick Grinnell coming up. Rick is a special envoy right now. Rick was ambassador to Germany. He was a director of national intelligence, and he also is a proud member of the ACLJ team and someone who has been a great voice for us. Second half hour coming up. Join us and support the work. Make your donation today at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
This is Logan Seculo. Will Haynes joining me in studio. Second half hour of Seculo for today. I think we made it to Wednesday, Will. Is that where we're at now?
It is Wednesday.
You never know.
It took me a second. Didn't have it right off
the bat. President Trump right now is having his first cabinet meeting. That's happening live as we're on the air. We're keeping an eye on that if there's anything that we need to cover. But I want to go quickly to a phone call, and then I want to take more of your calls coming up later in this segment and at the end of the show. So 1-800-684-3110. Great time to get in line. Martin's calling, though, from North Carolina, who is watching on YouTube. Again, over 466,000 of you subscribe on YouTube, and even more, millions of you watch. So a lot of you watch and don't subscribe. I'm going to encourage you, click that subscribe button. It really would help us out a lot. Martin, you're on the air.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Will and Logan, for what you do. Do you have a comment and a question? They're all linked to yesterday's program and today's. But first of all, with the left kind of misleading, giving misinformation and things like that, there seems to be a panic that people are led to about slashing and cutting and all that kind of great things. But what people need to understand, I made this analogy to your screener, it's like getting a root canal. Sometimes you got to go down to the very bottom and cut things out before you can rebuild and find out the organizations that really need to be there, really using the taxpayers' money in the way that they were intended to be used, and get rid of it, like Will said, get rid of the corruption, which obviously there's more going on than what people are thinking. And then the question is, going back to yesterday, the Hamas terrorist that was using a United States news network to nonprofit. Was there any indication that any tax dollars were used for that nonprofit?
Martin, I actually looked to see if there was a USAID grant to that specific nonprofit, because I thought maybe there could. It wouldn't have been out of the realm of possibility. Didn't find anything directly to that one that had the direct ties to Hamas. But what has come out recently is that about $50 million was granted through the Environmental Protection Agency as a part of the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act that Biden passed through to a group called Climate Justice Alliance. Now, that sounds just like a very innocuous green policy type leftist group, but they engage in a lot of conduct around supporting the pro-Hamas protests. So this is one of the groups that say, you know, climate justice is Palestinian justice, things of that nature. So there were definitely grants that went, if not directly, to helping support these protests that were being coordinated many times by Hamas, but that were definitely propped up in some way by groups like Climate Justice Alliance. They got $50 million of your taxpayer money. That money's fungible, even if they weren't saying this is directly being spent on organizing protest against Israel and against the Jewish people. Coming from somewhere else.
Yeah, money comes through, and then it's sort of the Planned Parenthood situation where they always say, you know, only 3% of our funds go to fund abortion. It's like, yeah, but that's because the rest is just freed up. It's all moving things around. It's not real numbers. That's not how it works. You can't have 98% of your services and only 3% of your money spent. We understand how this all works. Money's being spent in other places, then frees up money to be spent somewhere else. That's how this all goes. Thanks for that call. We are going to take more calls. If you're on hold, stay on hold, but we do have quite a few lines open right now. It's a great time to call in and get in line, because next up, we got Rick Grenell. You know him as former Director of National Intelligence, Ambassador to Israel, one of our incredible team members here at the ACLJ and currently Special Envoy, President Trump. He's been, like I say, currently the head of the Kennedy Center. You've heard him, like I told you, he is the hardest working man in Washington. I feel like I've seen so much of where, I don't even know where he is in the world most of the time. I'll get a text and I'll be like, all right, I have to just assume that he's on a mission, doing some amazing stuff. But he's going to be joining us in the next segment as he's floated out some interesting ideas how we can clean up not only what's going on in our government, but maybe in the state governments, maybe in California. Maybe it needs to be done, of course, in addressing that new deal between U.S. and Ukraine when it comes to minerals and what that could mean for a future end of the war. We'll be right back. back to Seculo. Rick Grinnell's joining us remotely, but we got him on video today. Will Haynes is joining me in studio here today. There's a lot going on, Rick, and I kind of wanted to break down a few of them. Let's start with, though, maybe the more intense of the subject matters, and that is that the U.S. and Ukraine have agreed to a minerals deal. I think for a lot of our audience, they don't really know what that means, why that's important, including myself. I had to go start searching, going, okay, some people are reporting, well, this is a good step. This is a step towards maybe the end of the war. But then other people are saying, well, this is a great way to pay us back. Or maybe it is. So maybe you can give us an understanding of why this is such a big deal.
Look, a couple of points. We've had a great relationship with Ukraine in the past, and Ukraine is rich with minerals. And Ukraine has been asking the American people for help over the last several years. And so President Trump is saying, look, we've helped you, we continue to help, but the reality is we want to end this war, and there needs to be some sort of security assurances. And too many times people think of security assurances as just boots on the ground, American men and women with guns protecting the peace. And what President Trump is saying is, look, a longer term stability is if American businessmen are working inside Ukraine and having some sort of a long-term beneficial relationship. And so they have a lot of minerals. Americans know what to do with minerals and sell them. And so if you want the American people to help you, then you should help the American people with our economy and our ability to work with you and sell your minerals, help produce them, help in production. And no one better to do that than the American business community, which knows how to do it. That'll provide some sort of assurances on safety too, because if America has a relationship with Ukraine that is all about growing jobs in the economy, that means Americans are investing, American businesses are investing in Ukraine. They're getting something in return,
right?
And there's something there for a security assurance. And I think this is a genius idea that President Trump came up with. Remember, President Trump likes to think about economy and the jobs, not just how does the American taxpayer pay for something?
Absolutely. I think that's what's interesting here is that finally it feels like a win-win. It's like, I don't think the American people are fully against getting involved in these situations, but when it comes to getting a good deal for the country, sure, that seems to be Donald Trump's MO. It's what he's good at. And maybe now we can see that. We could actually see there being a point to us getting involved at the level that we're getting involved in, Will.
Well, and obviously what I've been reading ever since the election was that President Trump was going to sell out Ukraine. He was going to give Ukraine to Russia. He was Putin's puppet. All of the old tropes about him being controlled by Vladimir Putin. But in reality, this deal should, one, just prove that for every detractor that said that he was just going to not care about Ukraine and let it go, that in reality, now we, for once, do have a vested interest in this war and seeing it end for the United States, because if there's a deal that could be profitable for U.S. economy, for the United States government recouping maybe some of the treasure that we've spent on this war already, I think that this should prove to everyone that Donald Trump isn't just going to give away Ukraine to Vladimir Putin as a birthday present.
I also think that we have to realize is that the American people have been paying for all sorts of different programs to the tune of $35 trillion in debt. And so we got Washington that is just literally spending money like crazy. They're overspending. And here comes President Trump to say, look, we're willing to help, which we have done for years. But if you have minerals, you know, why are you going to let European countries or companies get that shared deal? Why don't you include Americans? And if you want to include Americans, then here's a proposal. Ukraine gets to decide, is it worth it to have American businesses come in and help them on the minerals? Or can they just turn away and say, no? I think the lesson that President Trump is teaching us is that nothing is for free, and he's going to protect the American taxpayer.
Well, speaking of the American taxpayer, I want to move our attention to your home state, California, and you made some news. In terms of, you've seen what's going on with DOGE, and you said, hey, maybe we need to be doing this state by state. And maybe we could take this to California, made some attention there as people are curious, some of your plans for California. But it's really great to see you, Rick, going out and making these statements, because we know, look, this is what I always try to tell our audience, and we have a huge audience in California. It's actually usually our first or second biggest state, that in Texas, go back and forth between listenership, viewership, and even support for the ACLJ. A lot of it comes out of California. We need to make sure that these states and these big cities and these areas that really do help fund our country, help fund the economy, create amazing jobs, are well protected, are being spent, you know, money is being spent wisely. And when you're coming off of such tragedy with the fires and everything, there needs to be some accountability there in our biggest state.
Well, accountability is the key. I love that you use that word. And the reality is that Sacramento, the capital of California, where the Democrats control everything. They control the media. They control both sides of California government. They control the governor's mansion. They can do anything they want, and the media really just yawns and they let them get away with it. And so we are going to do what we do best, which is work for the taxpayer. And if California is going to come to the federal government and ask for billions of dollars, then we're going to make sure that the money is spent wisely and that we're just not giving it to these kind of woke left radicals in Sacramento who are going to continue their spending ways. I also think that it's really important to talk about the California Coastal Commission, which is this body of government that was overlaid on top of local government. So you've got local governments. Where I live in Manhattan Beach, there's a local government. The next beach down, Hermosa Beach, has its local government. The California Coastal Commission came in on all of the beach communities with a whole nother layer of government. I think it's actually unconstitutional. I think it is an entity that was created without thought for the legalities of undermining local governments. And so we're going to take a look at the California Coastal Commission and see what we can do. It's a body of unelected people who make crazy far left decisions. They're the body that killed the desalinization plant in California. We live on the ocean and we don't have enough water. Think about that. We could learn something from the Middle East countries who also live in the desert and yet have more water than California has. It's really unconscionable that we've had water management issues. We do not have a water problem in California. We have water management problems.
Well, Rick, but back to that Doge for California plan, what we needed was President Trump to get in office to stop someone like Kamala Harris from keeping the Department of Government Efficiency from being a reality. What needs to really happen in your home state to see something like this come to life?
Well, first of all, we probably need Republicans to take over, some conservatives to take over in Sacramento in larger numbers, which we're working on. That's going to take too long. But again, if the state of California is going to ask the federal taxpayer in Washington, D.C. to bail them out and to send them money, then the federal government has a responsibility to make sure that money is well spent. We don't want to waste the money. So we're going to put strings on it.
Absolutely. Rick, thanks for joining us today. We always appreciate it. I'm sure we'll be back on later in the week or next week. It's always good to hear from you, and we look forward to future plans. Phone lines are open. We have a couple lines open. I'd love to take your calls in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. If you have any questions related to even what Rick was saying, maybe you have thoughts about that mineral trade agreement, give us a call, or what's going on in California. Or maybe you're calling from California and you want to see things cleaned up as well. I'd love to hear from you. It's a great time. 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to draw our attention a little bit to what's going on in Israel. I know that it's dark, and sometimes it's not a very fun topic to talk about. But today, the Bibas family, as you know, their children, small babies, and their mother were laid to rest today in Israel. Of course, they had been held captive and then murdered by Hamas after the October 7th attack. They were kept as hostages, and we don't know exactly the timeline. But we've been fighting for Israel for years, decades, really, since the formation of the ACLJ, but so much so that we've launched the ACLJ Jerusalem. And here's just a few things. I have a list in front of me, a few things we're doing right now. Today, we face a critical deadline in court. Our lawyers are defending a parent who called out anti-Semitism of a public school teacher. We're hearing that time and time again. We recently filed at the U.S. Supreme Court to permit lawsuits against terrorists, and we're preparing to file at the ICC, that's the International Criminal Court, to defend Israel, and we have to be there. Look, that's why you have something like the European Center. We have to be there because no one else will be. And just days ago, we registered at the UN in Geneva, where we will present a critical oral intervention for Israel. Again, that is how your ACLJ, your ECLJ, which is European Center, which is, look, it's just as important to make sure your voice is heard around the world. We can do more than just watch in horror. We can do more than just say it's terrible or condemn it. We can get involved. And together, we can and we will defend our friends in Israel. So join us in the fight right now. Become an ACLJ champion also while you're there. That is someone that gives on a monthly recurring basis. It's great because we're able to actually track right now when I'm giving you this pitch. If you're doing it right now, we know why. Because you want to support all of the great work of the ACLJ. So aclj.org/champions or scan the QR code right now. That's someone that gives again on a monthly recurring basis. It's tax deductible. You can cancel anytime and you set the price of where you feel comfortable. We'll be right back with your calls and comments coming up. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take some of your calls coming up, and we have a few phone lines still open at 1-800-684-3110. So do me a favor, give us a call. I appreciate it. I'd like to hear from you. Let's kick it off with David, who's calling in Illinois, listening on the radio, which is fun. David, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you so much for the call. Love you guys. And I just came across something this morning with a text from my daughter's boyfriend is out of Fort Campbell down in Kentucky. He's with the DOD and military for 13 years, and he has been told by his superior he did receive the email to be answered in a short period, and he has been told by his superior not to answer it, not just himself but all the other employees of the airport down there not to answer it. And he's distraught. He doesn't know if he should do it offline because his email is monitored, but those folks need some help. And I'm sure this is not the only spot.
Look, I think we need some clarification here, David. I've heard this reports, by the way, that a lot of, including our friend Tulsi Gabbard and some of these others have said, hey, don't respond. You're in a different position than a lot of the people. You're working for security. You're working, like you said, at Fort Campbell. Maybe those need to be treated differently. And look, I think that there are some big benefits to having Elon Musk, who I really respect in this position, but there are times I feel like he will probably overstep and need to be walked back a bit. That's kind of one of those moments.
Well, and to your point, Logan, and that captain is probably actually following the chain of command because Pete Hegseth at the Secretary of Defense told the DOD not to respond to that email. As you mentioned, so did Tulsi Gabbard and so did Kash Patel. And I do feel like that is one thing that while there is a wide mission of what DOGE is doing, there are specific areas like national defense, national intelligence, the FBI, where it is a lot more appropriate for the cabinet member or the director of that agency to be conducting that themselves. I'm certain that Kash Patel, along with now his assistant director, Dan Bongino, are going to be reviewing the payroll. They're going to be looking at the agents. They're going to be figuring out how to clean up the FBI. Same with the Department of Defense. You've seen Pete Hegseth already taking action at the DOD. And that I feel like is much more appropriate to be conducted by the cabinet member, by the agency head, rather than the broader emails, because in a sense, like Tulsi was saying about the CIA threatening the American people, essentially, like if we lose our job, well, you know, maybe we'll go to Russia and China. There was someone in that article that mentioned there's a lot lower stakes with the Department of Agriculture.
Right.
If you have a disgruntled agriculture employee at the DOA, not as higher stakes. So maybe it should be handled a little bit differently. So I think, back to the caller's question, David, I think that captain is probably actually following the chain of command and taking the orders from the Secretary of Defense himself.
Yeah, so that's probably a good thing. That's probably okay. I do agree with you, by the way. There needs to be some clarification that they need. I think Elon or whoever it is needs to come out and say, okay, here's actually who needs to report to this guy. Friends also within the government that received the email, many of them, I think all of them had responded. And they said, yeah, we did it in 5 minutes. We responded saying, here's what we've been working on. And by the way, if you can't answer that question, then that's a huge problem. But maybe, maybe there's a situation where like this, with defense and different things, that this is not the appropriate way to do this. But I think what you're learning with President Trump, with Elon Musk, with this whole team that's put together, is they're not going for the traditional route. Sometimes that may take us a little off course, but maybe that actually brings us back in and actually gets things back in line. Now, Will, I know we wanted to hear a bit from Tulsi Gabbard as well, make sure our people understand what she's talking about. She was on Jesse Waters last night, right, discussing her plans here, and really that situation, like I said, the people that may sell out our country for just simply getting fired, which, of course, you don't want disgruntled employees, but a disgruntled employee saying, I'm taking my talents from Wendy's to McDonald's is a bit different than saying, I'm taking my talents from the United States Department of National Intelligence to, I don't know.
You went from the CIA to the FSB
KGB.
Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's now the FSB, Logan. You're living in Soviet times. I know you love the 80s.
I do.
But we have moved on, and acronyms have changed.
I've seen James Bond.
So, yeah, so that is the sense of what CNN reported, is that it's a national security risk because it could offer a rich recruitment opportunity for foreign intelligence services like China or Russia, who may seek to exploit financially vulnerable or resentful former employees. But let's hear what Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard had to say in response to this, Byte One.
I am curious about how they think this is a good tactic to keep their job. They're exposing themselves essentially by making this indirect threat using their propaganda arm through CNN that they've used over and over and over again to reveal their hand, that their loyalty is not at all to America. It is not to the American people or the Constitution. It is to themselves. And these are exactly the kind of people that we need to root out, get rid of, so that the patriots who do work in this area, who are committed to our core mission, can actually focus on that. I got to tell you, one of the byproducts of what I just saw literally today is, because of this immediate action of transparency and accountability, I have people within the intelligence community reaching out to me personally and directly saying, hey, you need to know about this. You need to look over here. People are stepping forward because they are all on board with the mission to clean house and refocus on our core mission of serving the American people.
Yep, again, that was Tulsi Gabbard on Jesse Waters. Let's take a caller. Let's go to Jose, who is calling in California, who's watching on YouTube. You're on the air.
Yes, my name is Jose, and I'm on... I'm waiting.
Hey, Jose, I think we're going to put you back on hold and see what's going on here. Unfortunately, he was asking about Trump's stance on no taxes and tips and where that stands right now. Well, I don't know if we've heard that. It's going to probably happen.
The Republicans passed their version of the budget last night. This is the reconciliation process. The Senate's already passed their version, so now the two houses will reconcile that to get that into law. And the House version did have the no taxes on tips. It also said no taxes on Social Security, because what many people may not realize is, once you start drawing Social Security, which you've been paying into your whole life, they still tax that. They tax the money you've been paying in and then receive the benefits. The government skims some off the top.
Yeah, it's like the lottery. Whenever someone wins the lottery, so does the government. But of course, that money is, it's a
Ponzi scheme.
It's fine. Allegedly. All right, look. I'm sorry we're not going to get your calls, Jose or Carolyn, today, because we were just running out of time. I encourage you right now. We're really at the end of the month of February. I know it doesn't feel like, I know it's all been a bit of a blur, but right now we could really use your support. Our numbers are down a little bit. We really could use it. Become an ACLJ champion. I know a lot of people join around Christmas and then they go, okay, I'm a couple months in. We really could use a bump here for those that want to give on a monthly basis. Again, you could do that as little as $5 a month. And of course you can do it as high as you'd like. And we'd appreciate that. And again, if you become an ACLJ champion, there's a couple fun perks. The ACLJ app that's available right now, which I encourage you all to get, you get kind of a custom skinned version of it. It's very cool. If you call in, I always make sure that I take ACLJ champions first, if you let our phone screener know. But mainly, you become the baseline for the entire organization, because with you, we're able to know what we can anticipate coming in. Most of our gifts come in a random one-time or you know, individual donations. But we have been trying over the last couple of years to build this really strong base, and it's worked. Over 20,000 of you have done it, of ACLJ champions. Understand, it takes millions and millions of dollars to keep this going. So I encourage you right now, become an ACLJ supporter, whether you're for life, for liberty, whether you are for what's going on in Israel. Be a part of it right now. This is the perfect time to do it. Scan the QR code. Do it right now, aclj.org/champions. Talk to you tomorrow.